everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's stand and sing, I Feel Like Traveling On.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. Let others see a home below. I feel like traveling home. Which flames devour or waves or flow. I feel like traveling home. Oh yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. I said the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. I said the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Oh, let's love him this morning. Hallelujah.
A life that had no His love gives a sweet symphony.
Please. Before we do, though, we got several of our young people that need to be in the choir. If you're in the choir, you need to be up here. So I'm waiting on you to come on up here. Hurry up. Quick. You're supposed to sing in the choir, you need to be up here. Is that all right, Brother Ryan? Unless you've been stealing chickens, Brother Butler said, and if you've been stealing chickens and doing bad things, you don't need to be up here. But if you're supposed to be up here, sir. Yep. Thank you very much. Now we'll sing. Let's start all over. Sister Anita, you were singing about this is a mighty good day. Right?
If my voice will hold out, I will.
Okay. Now I think, let's sing it and enjoy singing, all right?
Praise the Lord, everybody. He's a mighty good God. He's a mighty good God. Oh, bless his name.
Thank you, Jesus, for the day you've given to us. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to go to the Lord in prayer today. Brooke's got an aunt that is not doing well. And she did pass away. I'm sorry for that. I was not notified. So, Brooke, we're going to pray for her family this morning. And we want to lift them up in prayer in a special way. The Hedgepeth family, which is friends of ours in Kentucky, we want to pray for them in a special way. Larry Hedgepeth passed away earlier this week. The funeral was Friday, and we want to just pray for that family in a special way. But you've got a request here this morning, and the Lord's able to meet your need as well. Brother David Miller. All right, remember this request, Brother Randy. All right, pray for her. Sister Marcia, spoke with her yesterday and just really needs the Lord to come by and turn that situation around. Desperate need in her body. So let's pray for her. Sister Judy. All right, remember Lisa Cox, if you would. Brother Chester. All right, remember this. Brother Jerry. All right, remember that request. Sister Pam. All right, how about in the middle section? Any requests this morning? Sister Kersey. All right, Sister Gina. Let's pray for Sister Faulkner. She had two surgeries in 2 weeks, so just pray the Lord heals her up. Appreciate her faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Amen. How about on this left side today? Sister Heather. All right, Sister Adams. Sister Wilder. All right. Any others? But John. all right. Remember, Sister Alyssa, someone said Brother Jonathan left sick from church this morning. Brother Jonathan Mingledorf, so let's pray for him. Amen. Let's pray one for another. The will of the Lord be done today. Amen. Let's remember Brooks family in a special way, though. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. Oh, we thank you for the day you've given to us, Lord, and your word declares that we're able to call out on the name of the Lord in the midst of trouble, in the midst of sorrow. Father, we look to you today. You're our strength. You're our mercy. Father, you're everything to us, oh God. Oh, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for your abiding presence in our lives. We lift up Brooke and her family. Lord, we just pray for them, strengthen them, the Hedgepeth family. We pray for that church today as well, Lord. God, Brother Webb and the Hodgenville Church, Lord. Father, these other requests, Lord, we just pray the will of God be done. Oh, we magnify you and we glorify you. We honor you. We love you. We magnify you. We praise you, Lord. How we honor you. How we glorify and worship you. We worship you. We worship you today. We come into your house with praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your people today. Hallelujah. Meet us in this house today, God. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Step across the aisle, turn around, shake a neighbor's hand if you would. Welcome them in, your neighbor, into the house of the Lord. Deacons, help me if you would this morning as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Amen. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord today. Amen. We're going to give as unto the Lord. God bless you just for, amen, your faithfulness week in, week out. Amen. Throughout the year, being faithful to what the Lord has called us to do. Amen. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. God bless you as you give today. Let me say how much I just appreciate each and every one working in camp meeting. And I can't call names because some have already left on vacation. There's like 58 on the absentee list in Sunday school today. So I realize it's not a holiday weekend, but I guess it is. But anyway, all those that are in camp meeting that worked, took off work to be in camp meeting to work. You took off your job to work at camp meeting. Just this year was just seemed like more so than ever, just great unity and a lot of workers and just wonderful spirit. Just whether you were cleaning in the church, fellowship hall, inside, outside, kitchen, music, security, whatever you were doing, I just appreciate it so very, very much. And a lot of folks that come in just always compliment our church, and they see you working in your roles in different places, and just the feedback is unreal. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how much it is. They really want, honestly, this year I probably had 8 or 10 people say, we want to come down here and just, we want some of your people to kind of tell us how you do it and do like a leadership training, the laity leadership training. They really love the way you guys do it, and they say your people serve with joy, and everybody knows their role, and there's such unity. And I thought, well, just come back next week. But no, I didn't say that. I didn't think that either. But everybody's tired today. I realize everybody's tired in flesh and all that. But just everybody serving and loving God, and just I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. I'm grateful you have an opportunity to serve in the kingdom, because I believe it opens up the blessings and favor of God into your life. Amen. And when you have an opportunity to use your talent and use your ability and use what God has gifted you with in the kingdom of God, it inspires other people. And so there may be other people in positions similar to yours that maybe will never be in a pulpit, but they see what you're doing and how you're serving God, and they take it back with a little bit of vision to their church and want to start a ministry or start something in their church. And there's that just kind of that reciprocal effect. So God bless you. I really do appreciate it, and thank you for all of your work, all of your sacrifice, just all of your giving, not just financially before the meeting, but during the meeting. It's an expensive proposition on our church, but it is well worth it. I think we represent the kingdom of God well, and I think God is pleased with what we do during camp meetings. So it is a total sacrifice on your behalf to have camp meeting, because a lot of you don't get the spiritual benefit from it. You're serving, you're out of service in different capacities. But God, I believe God makes it up in a lot of ways throughout the year. And just thank you so very, very much. So why don't you give yourselves the biggest hand that you possibly can today. Amen. Each and every one of you. Amen. I appreciate it so very, very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Quartet, come on, sing for us this morning, if you would. Let's worship. Let's worship the Lord. Well, they're coming. Someone, I'll tell you what, Cody got saved Thursday night, I believe it was. Testify, Cody. Amen. Right. Amen. Sorry, I didn't know somebody stole my youth pastor. I didn't know some invasion of the body snatchers. I didn't see him. He's hard to miss, but I missed him. So I don't I got you. I don't know. So sing a trio or grab somebody else or do whatever you want to do. So, amen. It's good to have Sister Katrina Freeman with us, and we'll let her sing tonight. But someone else, appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Brother Brian Stanley, testify for the Lord. Amen. No doubt.
And I'm glad to know that I know the true and living God. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to know that I know the Savior of my soul. I don't have to worry about when I lay my head down to rest at night, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell?
All right.
There's a one particular fellow that I've talked with. He doesn't believe in an eternal fire.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all he believes is that eternity is nothing but, is the way he described it, brushing a feather against a silver ball as it dissipates, then eternity will just start all over again, and he'll just go back to rubbing a feather on a silver ball. Wow. How much sense does that make to you? Exactly. But I'm so glad to know that when the trumpet sounds,
amen.
I thank God for everything.
Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord.
Moses led God's children. 40 years he led them through the cold and through the night. Said, let's turn back. Moses said, keep going. Canaan's land is
just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. And honey flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey's flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just inside.
Though we walk through valleys, though we've climbed high mountains, we cannot give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've gotta keep on going. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. And honey flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just inside.
Though we walk through valleys, and though we climb high mountains, we cannot give up the fight. For we must be like Moses. We've gotta keep on going. Canaan land is just inside.
There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey's flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan's land is just inside.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord today, say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. I tell you what, take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. And I don't know what night Brother Shoecraft preached from Isaiah chapter number 43. It might have been Tuesday night. I don't remember. But I showed him the... notes that I had in my Bible, that what I wanted to preach about the Sunday after camp meeting. And you know, he preached Isaiah chapter 43 right where I wanted to preach, verse number 19. And so I may not preach that long today, because there's a whole lot that he preached that I wish I would have thought of while I was studying. But anyway, I thought about just kind of shelving this for later. But I got something studied out, and I just can't really kind of get away from this, because I just felt like that it's probably God speaking to me to speak to you, and God really challenging us with this verse. Isaiah 43 and 19 said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Notice that. I will do a new thing, and he's preached that, and I may comment a little bit about that. But notice he said now. Isaiah the prophet said now. Right now, this is happening right now. It shall spring forth. But this question bothers me. Shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? Will you not receive it? Do you not perceive it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Now it'd be hard pressed to see a way in the wilderness and the river in the desert and miss that. It'd be hard to miss a river in the desert. But Isaiah is writing to a people that are going to miss a river in the desert. Because you can get so spiritually calloused, so spiritually out of tune with God, that God promises, I'm doing a new thing right now, right here, right in the midst of you. You're going to miss it. Your family's going to miss it. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I was going to call it barriers to blessings. So if you want to put that down and keep it for later, barriers to your blessing. God bless you as you're seated. I'm only going to preach probably maybe 10 or 15 minutes today, and then I want to give an altar service. I will do a new thing. Notice verse number 18, which is critical. He said, remember ye not. When I read that a few weeks ago, that's the verse that really just pivoted my thinking about this text and what Isaiah is really trying to get across. I mean, because it seems as if a lot of times God is trying to remind us of things. And so when Scripture points out something we are not to remember, then it would seem as if that just jumps off the page, that we should just absolutely pay attention to that. And so when we back up a few verses and we realize that Isaiah has recounted the mistakes of Israel, certainly he has recounted the mistakes of Israel, for the Scripture says that God says, I am your Redeemer. And God says that I've brought you out, I've made a way in the Red Sea. And so he reminds them that I am the one that delivered you. And so he recounts their failures. He recounts their mistakes. So it would be easy to preach it from that perspective, that we need to forget our failures, we need to forget our mistakes, and that is most of the time how we always preach that. But also inside of that passage of Scripture is not just the mistakes, but the miracles. And one of the great barriers sometimes to our blessings is that we always feel that God has to do what God has always done. A lot of times we always limit the future to what we've seen God do in the past. We put God in a box. The Scripture said in one place they limited the Holy One of Israel. And I want you to think about those words. They limited. God, we know, is limitless. God is unlimited. But notice the Scripture said they limited the Holy One of Israel. When you and I put God in a box, we constrain him. At times, Jesus could not perform as many miracles as he wanted to do because of the unbelief. They restrained the miracle-working power of God. So Isaiah, through the inspiration of his pen, he writes to us, and he said not only the mistakes of the past, but also the miracles of the past. Forget those things, in the sense not that we should discredit our heritage, but never, ever worship the past so much that you feel like God cannot do something even greater than what God has already done. And so they're getting ready to see God open up a river in the desert. And Isaiah's writing, he said, you are going to miss the next miracle, you're getting ready to miss the next step of what God is going to do. You're getting ready to miss the next chapter of what God is wanting to do because you're hung up on what's something in your past. You're hung up on looking backwards, and you're going to miss where God is wanting to take you. And I thought when I read that question, how in the world could somebody miss just a miracle of God? How is it that in a camp meeting or a revival or a church or different times of season somebody gets saved while somebody backslides? How does that happen? How is it that there's a season when three young folks get the Holy Ghost and there's one young person that backslides? How does that happen? How does that happen that there's one family getting saved and getting rooted in the church, and every service I'm on pins and needles thinking, well, at least they showed up this service because I thought that was going to be the last service. How is that so possible that there are those that in the same service are getting rooted and grounded, but then there's others that are getting their things packed because it looks like they're getting ready to make a journey? How is it that when God is ready to do something new, a new thing, something even greater than He's already done in the past, how is it that you miss it? How is it? How is it possible? Well, I don't know if I have all the answers, but as I've prayed the last few weeks and even during camp meeting, I think number one, there's a lack of perception. There has to be a lack of perception. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter number 4, He specifically said, if you knew who it was that spoke to you, you'd be asking right now. You'd be asking right now. And so really, if somebody is with that lack of perception, if they don't see what God is doing, it's all right to say amen after camp meeting, by the way. If somebody doesn't perceive that God is doing a new thing, if they think all the miracles of the past and all of the mistakes of the past have just brought them to where they are at, and God's done, and God cannot write a new chapter in their life, and their perception of God is so small, and their perception of God is outdated, and their perception of God is just like that woman, it's hidden. Maybe it was hidden by her prejudice. Maybe it was hidden by somebody wounded them. Maybe it was hidden by some kind of weariness in their life. Maybe it was hidden by their distractions or their pursuits of this world. For whatever reason, Jesus said, if you would perceive who talks to you, you'd be asking right now. You'd be asking right now. You would be acting differently than you're acting right now. That's why preachers get so tired sometimes. How you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. No, you're not doing fine. Because if you were really doing fine, you wouldn't be acting like you're acting. You'd be asking. You'd be asking. You'd be getting on board with the new thing. You'd be looking for that what God is getting ready to do in your life. Amen. You'd be expecting God. Your heart would be full of the praise and the anticipation of what God is getting ready to do. Amen. I really believe that's why God sent a man from Arkansas to try to tell your family, you, my friend, nobody else, not this congregation, because I am on alert. I don't want to miss the new thing, but I really felt like God was telling me to tell somebody that your family is going to miss the new thing. God's going to bypass you. You're going to miss the next chapter of your life because you have a lack of perception of what God is wanting to do. If you knew. A lack of perception, a lack of expectation. Not only a lack of perception, but a lack of expectation. In the wilderness, that's the last place you would expect God to open up a river. Probably the Sunday morning after camp meeting is the last time we'd expect revival to break out. That's why I don't schedule anybody for the Sunday morning after camp meeting. I don't do that to anybody. Nobody deserves that. Hallelujah. A lack of expectation. But in the wilderness, God was getting ready to do something he had never done before. That which was a barrier to them was getting ready to be their source of blessing. Hear me, hear me. God will not always do it the same way. They had Jesus. Notice them. I went back and I've been reading the miracles of Jesus to try to get my mind wrapped around this. And the miracles of Jesus were always different. They were always different. He did it in a different method. He did it in a different style. He did it in a different time of day. He did it in a different setting. He did it with a different ethnicity. He did it in all different settings. Why? Because he wanted them to understand it is not a system, but it is a source. It is a source that if you have Jesus, you have the miracle. That you might not have the right time of day, and you might not have the right spot on the beach, but if you have Jesus, I said, if you have the Son of God, if you have the life-giving source in Jesus, if you have the Alpha and the Omega, you can have the source of expectation. I want somebody here this morning to understand, amen, you think you've got to have the system just right. It's not a system, friend. It's a source, and it is in the Son of God, amen, and God's going to do a new thing. And so when he said, forget not just the mistakes, but the miracles, that is dangerous for some of us because there are young people. Young people are not rooted in the past. That's why some of you would throw away the convictions quick. It don't mean anything to you. That's why we're always trying to get the convictions inside of the young people. Oh, God, help me preach that balance out right there. That's why they need you to be the mom and dad and not the buddy. To try to take the convictions of yesterday and get it in their heart. Hallelujah. But on the contrary, I watch a lot of older people. I watched some of you during camp meeting when Brother Shoecraft preached, I'll do a new thing. And you thought he was preaching to the young people. But I watched some of you with gray hair. You didn't even pray when he got done preaching. You took out your report cards and said these words, that is tremendous preaching. That is great preaching. And you should have said that. But it's not really great and tremendous unless it affects the way you live. Otherwise, it's just another sermon. It's just another trophy on the shelf. He's not preaching to get accolades, but he is preaching to try to show us not to be complacent sitting on our pew. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're the most senior in this building today. None of us have made it. And there ought to be a yearning in every one of our hearts for revival, for a move of God. Every one of us today, amen, ought to come into the house of God yearning for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us ought to come. Every granddaddy, every daddy, and every teenager ought to come in this building. Amen. With an expectation. Amen. God, I expect to see your glory. God, I expect to see your power. God, I expect my family today. What kind of Sunday would it be if every Sunday, every service, you came in to see what's God going to do today? 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 Who's God going to save today? Who's God going to save today? Who's God going to baptize in the Holy Ghost today? Who's God going to heal today? Who's God going to... I'm telling you, friend, I know God moved great in the past, but our God is not dead. And if we pay the price, the presence of God is still real. Amen. I'd love for God to step in this building today and raise my level of expectation and revitalize our church and say, God, we might be in the wilderness and your family might be in a wilderness, but God's able to open a river. God's able to open a river even in the midst of the wilderness. A lack of expectation. Anybody have an expectation? You got to admit, some of you did not come with an expectation. People that come late don't have an expectation. If you didn't get down and pray before service, you probably didn't come with an expectation today. Hey, man, I'll give you a passage the Sunday after camp meeting. But how many Sundays do you come to the house of the Lord without an expectation that God is going to do something new? Well, I remember what, that's great. But it's only great if we use it to propel us to the future. I want you to hear what I say closely. None of us as churches in our movement have the history that the Church of God Cleveland, Tennessee does. None of us have the richness of that history, the length of it, the breadth of it, the depth of it. None of us have the richness, the depth of that history. But when we look at their churches today, we'd be hard-pressed to see the similitude between their churches today and their history. History is great, but only if we allow it to propel us to the future of what God is wanting to do. A new thing. Not a new thing as far as something out of the scripture or out of the bounds of the Bible, but in the new thing of what David said, God had put a new song, a freshness. How would God come to us today? Let me give you the third thing. I'm done and out of your way. Amen. The third thing is the closeness to God. Verse number 21, God said, this people have I formed for myself. God said, this people is mine. I have formed them for myself. God said, I'm bringing you to myself that they should show forth my praise. Amen. The third reason, I know some people are going to miss it. They're not living close enough to God. But God has pulled us close to himself. And here's how I know you're living close to God. God said, when I pull you close, there'll be a people that's praising me. There'll be a people that's magnifying me. There'll be a people that's loving me. Amen. Is there anybody in the house of God this morning that's glad to be in the presence of God? That's glad to be close to God? Anybody feel God in your heart today? And you'd say, I got a lot to praise God for. I got a lot to magnify God for. Amen. I want to thank God I'm saved. I want to thank God for saving me. I want to thank God for healing me. I want to thank God for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I want to thank God my children are saved. I want to thank God for my house and my car and my money. Anybody glad for health? Anybody glad for life? Why don't somebody stand this morning and say, God, I give you praise for every good thing you've done in my life. Glory. Ah, hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Oh, is that the best you can do, friend? I promise you, as you get closer, praise will get easier. As you get closer, praise will get easier. As you get closer, praise will get easier. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, worship. Call him up, call him up, call him up. Oh, call him up, 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 call him up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God is good. Great is the Lord, and greatly and greatly and greatly and greatly to be praised. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Kennedy. Worship the Lord for a while. Hey, glory, glory, glory. Ah, praise him, praise him, praise him. God put strength in his body. God put strength in his body. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, we love you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't miss what God's wanting to do. God said, I'll do a new thing. Glory. Ah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory. Might cause her to get a little embarrassed, but I've been thanking God for what the Lord did in Sister Rachel's life for several nights. I might embarrass you right now, but man, seeing her get blessed and worship the Lord, I know a lot of us pray for her and love to see the Lord do something great in her heart and her life. And Friday night, watching the Lord just really pour out His Spirit and His grace on her life, I'm thanking God for that. I said, I'm thanking God for that. I don't have to just praise the Lord for what He's done for me. I can look around this morning and say, thank God this time last Sunday, Cody Brown wasn't saved. I say, thank God he's saved today. I said, thank God he's saved right now. I pray, Lord, give him strength. God, give him the will. God, give him the power. God, give him the resiliency to live for you. Hallelujah. I said, do it in the name of Jesus. I said, do it in the name of Jesus. I said, church, come on. God's going to do something great in these last days. My God, don't miss it. I said, don't miss it for your family. Glory. How many feel like we ought to come around the altar? Well, woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Preacher man, you just trying to get somebody excited? Not at all. Not at all. How many? Wednesday, Sister Carolyn, what night did you call me? Wednesday? Thursday. She'd been taking chemo and radiation. They said she had cancer. She called me Thursday and they said she don't have cancer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It might have been one of those nights while she come to the house of the Lord when she wasn't feeling good and her hands were lifted up. God just reached down and touched her in a marvelous, marvelous way. Hallelujah. Who knows? I said, who knows, friend? But I come today to the house of the Lord with an expectation. I'm not serving a little dead God. Amen. I'd step out of that pew today and say, God, I'm coming to get close. I'm coming to get close today. And I just come to get close, Lord. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to magnify your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ah, we love you right now, Jesus. I said, we love you right now, Jesus.